IBM. Innovation.
Hi, I'm Philip Oliver. My brother and I, Andrew, started Blitz Games back in 1990.
Whilst at school, we were introduced to some Apple IIe games from a friend. It must have been about 1981. We were instantly hooked on the actual gameplay. Back then, the graphics, the sound, the story and the characters were actually non-existent. We started then programming some early 8-bit consoles. They had about 32K of RAM, which obviously isn't much at all. And we really liked the ability to actually have our own creations come to life on the family TV. Everybody has to start somewhere, and obviously the very first ideas that we came up with, we were just school kids. We'd seen other games out there, such as Pac-Man and Space Invaders. So when we started trying to design games, they weren't particularly good, weren't particularly clever, but we started getting better. Basically, you just start to experiment, you get better and you learn. And for the first 2 years, nothing was there that could actually be shown off or sold to other people. It was just iterative attempts and retries, but an awful lot of learning takes place in that time. And you just try it on your sort of sister or your brother or your parents and just say, what do you think of that? Unfortunately, they didn't actually take a lot of interest in video games, so that made life even tougher. Our parents always thought we were putting way too many hours in on the video games. Yes, we should definitely have been reading more books, without a doubt. To this day, I'm actually quite a slow reader because that suffered heavily. But one thing that was a very good education was we just like to see variety of games. And I think that's one thing that a lot of people who want to get into the games industry these days actually miss. They will pick a genre that they really, really like, and they'll play that one incessantly. And actually, it's very, very good to study all of the different genres and types and the high quality and the low quality and what's making them work and what's making them intensely frustrating. One of the problems that we actually had back when we were programming video games is that trying to read up information was incredibly difficult. You didn't have the internet, so you didn't have that massive source of information that's just readily available and free, and so easy to index. You could go to the local library or the local bookshop, but to be honest, the kind of information we were looking for was very hardcore. There probably were books out there, but they weren't likely to be in our local library. Maybe they were going to be driving distance, but we didn't drive. So what we actually ended up doing is actually hacking, trying to look at the source code, the actual sort of binary code, in fact, of the video games and decompile them, as it's termed, to try to work out how certain techniques were achieved. It's incredibly difficult, incredibly time-consuming, but we put a lot of hours in. And when you were at school, we didn't really value our time. And if to find out how somebody had programmed the latest technique meant sitting at the computer for 3 days solid, just reading lines of code that have been decompiled, then so be it. That's what we do. Obviously, setting up a company was a real challenge. Did we have any training in it? I'm afraid not. Most of it was actually just trial and error. And we were kind of lucky that it was a soft market at the time, that we could afford to make a few errors and still survive. And I think at the time, so were other people trying to sort of set up games companies, and some were getting it partly right and some partly wrong. In fact, one of the things that, because we were jack of all trades, is we did take an interest in the business side of it, which actually a lot of the creatives in the early days failed to grasp. As a result, the finances didn't add up, and they're not in business to this day. In the early days, our interpersonal skills have probably suffered some. However, you have to learn quite quickly, if you want to get on in business, that it's all about your business relationships, your ability to negotiate with people, your ability to make friends with people. And if you don't work that out pretty quick, it doesn't matter how talented you are, you'll sort of be out of business. I mean, obviously, I think about other people's sort of feelings and how they want to sort of relate to us. And it's a skill you have to sort of learn when you're in senior management or running a company, to make sure that you're an affable individual and that people trust you, people want to deal with you, and they like being around you. People now see us as sort of entrepreneurs and businessmen. We never actually set out to create a huge company, and we never set out to be businessmen. We set out to make video games, and to this day that is exactly what we do. Now the problem is that on the other side of the field you've actually got the publishers, and many of these publishers are just looking at the game as product. It is just, I buy it in at this price and I sell it out at that price, and if I sell enough units I make X. That's not how we look at it at all. Are you aware of certainly the UK video games industry, but it may be the case of the American games industry, where almost every company in development are two brothers? It is spooky. Just to roll a few off, we have Rare, and that's the Stamper Brothers. We have Eutechnics, and that's the Jobling Brothers. We have Codemasters, the Darling Brothers. We have obviously Blitz, which is the Oliver Brothers. That's just a few. I could actually probably do twice as many as that. So with all these video game companies coming from brothers, how did that happen and why is that the case? I believe it's because if you're sitting there on your own and you're trying desperately hard to get your first few lines of code doing something on screen, only you are going to appreciate whether that was clever or not, unless of course you have a brother who goes, actually that's quite cool, wait a minute, maybe I can add to that. And you can basically try between the two of you to spur each other on, brainstorm things, and give each other the motivation to sort of go forward. So in the early days, my brother and I were sort of trying to analyze, what does gameplay actually mean, above and beyond story, characters, graphics, audio, and all that kind of stuff. Certainly when we were looking at this whole gameplay thing, Tetris had just appeared in the marketplace, so we're talking late 80s, and we were trying to work out, why is it that Tetris was so addictive? Basically, your time is what you're gambling. You try and try again as hard as you like, and you're trying to get the highest score, but the way in which you approach it means that you can spend less time and achieve more if you do it right. So fundamentally, gameplay is a form of gambling, and that is actually what's so addictive. It's just gambling without money. A lot of what video game players are trying to do is take you away from the real world and actually submerge you in somewhere very, very interesting, and that's what the art is.
IBM. Innovation.